And sometimes it is. But that's okay, because I think it's important to sit with the hard and the sad realities and possibilities. I think also that there is a lot to learn from how fiction writers imagine that we might deal with the impacts of realities like climate chaos and the rise of authoritarianism. From the hardest to admit realities of how we might turn on each other in our striving for our own individual survivals, to the most hopeful versions of how they imagine we might emerge, having finally learned that lesson that we can really only thrive if we're looking after each other. This book is one of those. Becky Chambers has created this gentle, peaceful world where people have learned this lesson. She does not get into the history of how that happened. There are spaces in this world for humans and spaces for nature, and both are cared for in all the ways. And the robots that were created during the factory age, centuries ago, those robots have gained consciousness. And they left the human world to avoid the possibility of causing harm. Something I think a lot about these days. Dex is a tea monk in this world. And their job, their call, as you learned about from our wisdom reading, is to travel from town to town like the itinerant universalist preachers of the 1800s, offering pastoral care to people over a cup of tea of a chosen blend specifically for that person and what they need or what they're caring about, what they're bringing. And so one day while Dex is on their route, a robot emerges from the woods around them after centuries of humans seeing no robots because they have withdrawn themselves. This robot emerges and asks, "What do people need?" The rest of the story is an exploration of exactly that, with Dex and Mosscap having small adventures and processing them together from their very different perspectives. And one of the threads that weave through this hopeful little book is the mutual giving and the generosity that they offer each other. In the piece that Craig read for us, we learn a little bit about Dex's call to serve. I have my own story about this, which is what landed me in Unitarian Universalist ministry. I was 42 years old and working for a consulting firm that did wetland mitigations and delineations for developers who wanted to impact wetlands. This is not what people who go to school for botany and ecology want to do with their lives. This is not saving the world. But that is where the money was, that is where the job was, that is where the healthcare was. And so that's what I was doing. In the middle of that work, my ex, now ex-husband, and I started a family. And when that child was born, sorry, this is a story about that child. Your attention should not be on them. I'm sorry, sweetheart. When that child was born, something happened inside me, and I could no longer do this thing that brought in the money and the health insurance, but was not my call. And I started to figure out what that call was in the Unitarian Universalist Church that I was attending, and with the group of pagans, the Covenant of UU Pagans, that I was worshiping with. And that led to this. Somewhere in the middle of that was that aha moment, that this is what I want. This is what I need to do. And so now I get to do work that is all about giving. I get to offer my presence and my attention. I get to offer my education and my experience. I get to offer my reflections on what is real and meaningful and true for me in this work that I get to do to make a living. How awesome is that? The Buddhist monk Jack Kornfield has said, We all have, without exception, a very deep longing to give. To give to the earth, to give to others, to give to the society, to work, to love, to care for this earth. And so, he continues, there's the tremendous amount of sorrow for a human being who doesn't find a way to give. One of the worst of human sufferings is not to find a way to love or a place to work and give of your heart and your being. I didn't know that quote 18 years ago when all that happened, but that's where I was. And I want to invite you to explore this idea. So I ask you to take a breath. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to ask you to take a breath. And maybe another. And focus on your connection with the floor for just a moment. What part of you is reaching downward into the grounding energy of Earth? Let your breath slow if you can. And invite your mind to hold this idea of a longing to give to the earth, to give to others, to give to the society, to work, to love. Let that idea sink into your heart. Some guiding questions I have to offer. In what ways do you long to give? And in what ways do you get to give? Give you a few moments of quiet to sit with us. If you are here in person and comfortable talking to a neighbor, I invite you to share with them what came up in your reflection briefly for just a minute or so. If you're not comfortable doing that, please feel free to keep sitting and reflecting. Folks online, I invite you to share in the chat what came up for you during this reflection time. It's fun when we get going, isn't it? Thank you, friends. This will also be your coffee hour question later. So if you are attending virtually, you will get to share about this out loud and y'all can continue your conversations if you're here in person.
To free silenced and marginalized voices and to promote respect for the artist in all writers. It is a kind of love, is it not? How the cup holds the tea. How the chair stands sturdy and four square. How the floor receives the bottoms of shoes or toes. How soles of feet know where they're supposed to be. I've been thinking about the patience of ordinary things. How clothes wait respectfully in closets. And soap dries quietly in the dish, and towels drink the wet from the skin of the back. and the lovely repetition of stairs. And what is more generous than a window?
We really did not go looking for tea references for this service. That is just how things worked out. It is becoming a darn good metaphor, though. Learning to discern what kind of tea people need based on what they tell you about their lives or how they seem to you in the moment. The gift that Dex was called to offer the people in their world. This requires the kind of patience that lets us drop our own egos and thoughts and notice what's going on around us. To be the cup that holds the tea, as it were, or to be like a window. It strikes me that this idea of the patience of ordinary things offers us another way into an aspect of generosity. It's a reminder that letting a process unfold however it will, without needing to control it or direct it, while responding, perhaps with our own choices in the moment, is a form of patience. And that form of patience is a form of generosity, much like Dex's tea service. We can get so caught up in what we want to happen, or even just that we want something to happen, that we often forget to stop wanting and let a process happen. Sophia got so excited that God was going to stop by for tea that she put all that work into preparing for God's visit, and then all those people came along because of her preparations. She told them all that she was expecting a very important visitor. And then somewhere along the way, she got caught up in enjoying the presence of her friends and her neighbors and the party that was happening and forgot about God. And it turned out that God had been there all along in the unfolding of the party. One of the gifts we can give is the opportunity for God or spirit or presence or the love that holds us all simply to show up. May it be so, and may we be so.